Welcome along to Insight, where we visit the catalogue of one of the 20th century's icons. And this episode features not just a singer, but also one of the most successful and influential songwriters of the past 60 or 70 years. Welcome to Insight, where we're celebrating Roy Orbison.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman, I don't believe you, you're not the truth. No one could look as good as you. Mercy. Pretty woman, won't you pardon me? Pretty woman, I couldn't help but see. Pretty woman, I'll go on home, it's late. There'll be tomorrow night, but wait, what do I see?
So welcome along. I hope you enjoy the dozen or so Roy Orbison tracks I've selected for you for this session. The funny thing is, despite his place in the history books and his huge influence on the likes of Bruce Springsteen, Tom Petty, Bono, John Lennon and Elvis Costello, Roy would never stylistically be copied thanks to his extraordinary voice. And Roy's writing was also incredible. He said that this song, despite appearing to be an ode to loneliness, was in fact a happy song. He said that these lyrics were about being on the road and painfully missing someone, but that it was almost worth wallowing in that pain because you knew that one day you would be able to return home to your loved one where you would both just sleep all day and watch the catfish play.
I feel so bad, I've got a worried mind. I'm so lonesome all the time. Since I left my baby behind on Blue Bayou. Saving nickels, saving dimes, working till the sun don't shine. Looking forward to happier times on Blue Bayou. I'm going back someday, come what may, to Blue Bayou, where you sleep all day and the catfish play on Blue Bayou. All those fishing boats with their sails afloat, if I could only see that familiar sunrise through sleepy eyes, how happy I'd be.
Bo, bo, bo,
oh, to
see my baby again and to be with some of my friends. Maybe I'd be happy then on Blue Bayou. I'm going back someday, gonna stay on Blue Bayou, where the folks are fine and the world is mine on Blue Bayou. All that girl of mine by my side, the silver moon and the evening tide, oh, some sweet day gonna take away this curtain. I'll never be blue, my dreams come true on Blue Bayou.
Roy's song from spring of 1963, and that song really showcases Roy's writing skills. Regularly, his lyrics would tell us of scenes and people that he had just dreamed up, to a boy from a tiny Texan town called Wink. Jumping catfish and blue bayous were totally magical and imagined scenarios. And I suppose in that respect, Roy was no different from the songwriting greats from the 30s and 40s who were also able to conjure up vivid imagery from their lyrics whilst writing about experiences they never actually had. I suppose the greatest example of that skill was probably a Russian Jewish guy sitting in July sunshine in Los Angeles writing songs like God Bless America and White Christmas. But back to Roy with the song whose opening couplets sound like they could have been written by one of the old masters. These opening lines paint such a vivid image in our minds that it's really comparable to any of the lyricists from the great American songbook. Roy says he went to bed one night and that when he woke up in the morning, this melody and these words were in his head.
A candy-colored clown they call the Sandman tiptoes to my room every night, just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes, then I drift away.
That's the title track from Roy's 1963 album. So far, we've heard Roy's own compositions, and although most of the songs I've selected for this episode of Insight were written by Roy, he did actually record songs written by other writers. In 62, he had a hit on both sides of the Atlantic with this one.
Sweet dream, baby.
Oh, the great Roy Orbison, the man who counted Springsteen, Tom Petty, Bono, John Lennon and Elvis Costello amongst his most devoted fans. And about who Elvis Presley once said, he's the greatest singer in the world. Roy wrote many of his early songs with the great composer Joe Melson. Joe was constantly fascinated and driven by the musical challenge of trying to compose a melody that could cheer you up while you were crying. That was his main thing. Now, this dramatic approach to melody really contributed hugely to Roy's overall sound. And what's really interesting about the method of their songwriting partnership is that neither of them exclusively wrote the words or music. They would both swap musical phrases and sentences until they were happy with the result. And this next song that Roy and Joe wrote together was turned down by both Elvis and the Everly Brothers, all of whom said it would never be a hit. And like something out of some old cheesy Mickey Rooney movie, when Roy decided to record the song himself, it turned out to be the record that would launch him to worldwide stardom. Furthermore, it perfectly encapsulates the feel that Joe Melson was always talking about. On one hand, the rhythm of the song bounces along merrily, whilst the lyrics are a brilliant, heartbreaking ode to loneliness.
Dum, 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 dum. Only the lonely. So far apart. only the lonely know why I cry. Only the lonely. Only the lonely know the heartaches I've been through. Only the lonely know I cry and cry for you. Maybe tomorrow a new is your lonely heartbreak. Only the lonely.
The song that launched Roy's recording career and also established him and Joe Melson as genuine hitmakers. Let's now turn to the song that gained Roy the nickname of the Caruso of Rock. And it's worth remembering what else the public were buying around 1961. Songs like Run Around Sue, Hit the Road Jack, Please Mr. Postman, and The Lion Sleeps Tonight were all massive hits that year. Nothing sounded like this next epic from Roy and Joe, which outsold all of those songs. Now, Roy says that he had the idea for this song when he was driving his car one day when an old flame crossed the road in front of him. He stopped and they chatted briefly, with Roy leaving the encounter, realizing he was still in love with her and berating himself for never having spoken up and confessing his emotions. He then went to Joe's house and they wrote this glorious hymn of despair. And by the way, if there's any men listening to this who fancy a challenge, try singing along with this, but just watch out for any glass objects in the house should you make the last note.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while. But I saw you last night. You held my hand so tight as you stopped to say hello. Oh, you wished me well. You couldn't tell that I'd been crying. Standing all alone, alone and crying, 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 crying. It's hard to understand, but the touch of your hand can start me crying. I thought that I was over you, but it's true, so true. I love you even more than I did before. But darling, what can I do? For you don't love me, and I'll always be.
no wonder that the Beatles would insist in their contracts that the only act who they would not follow on stage was Roy Orbison. Now, here's another from 1961, and it's almost surreal how different this was from everything else in the charts at the time. It must have seemed like something from another planet. Along comes a song written by two country and rock and roll fans who had decided to compose something loosely based around the rhythm of Ravel's Bolero. And just check out the musical arrangement of this one, building verse by verse to Roy's very last note, which is so high that many female sopranos would struggle with it. It's another ridiculously epic storytelling gem from Roy and his songwriting partner, Joe Melson.
Just run and scare. Each place we go, so afraid that he might show. Yeah, run and scare. What would I do if he came back and wanted you? Just run and scare. Feeling low. Run and scare. You love him so. Just run and scare. Afraid to lose. If he came back, which one would you choose? Then all at once he was standing there, so sure of himself, his head in the air. My heart was breaking, which one would it be? You turn around and walk away with me.
Roy's brilliant top 10 hit from 1961. Now, these insight shows aren't meant to be documentaries, so I'm not going to keep the selections in chronological order. I've just picked out some of Roy's recordings that I thought you might enjoy. So let's leave the 60s and jump forward a few years and hear something near the end of Roy's life, which he didn't write. The same writing team who had come up with Like a Virgin, Eternal Flame and True Colours had composed this one. Roy had recorded this song as a demo with a pair of writers called Tom Kelly and Billy Steinberg, who were huge Roy fans and had actually written this song with him in mind. Thanks to their success, they were able to reach out to Roy and ask him if he would have a go at the song. And at the time, which seems unbelievable, Roy didn't even have a recording contract, and so he was happy to demo the song for these young writers. Years later, after Roy had died, Virgin Records decided they would put together a selection of unreleased Roy Orbison songs, one of which was this one. Jeff Lynne added instruments around Roy's demoed vocals, and the end result was this.
I had to escape, the city was sticky and cruel. Maybe I should have called you first, but I was dying to get to you. I was dreaming while I drove the long straight road ahead. Uh-huh, yeah. Could taste your sweet kisses, your arms open wide. This fever for you was just burning me up inside. I drove all night to get to you. Is that all right? to make love to you. Is that all right?
The finished demo of the song Roy would never get to hear. Now, Bruce Springsteen has spoken many times about how he's always felt that Roy's voice communicates with the listener directly, as if he's addressing us all individually and sharing his story. And I found this great quote. Let me just share it with you. Springsteen said, "Roy had the ability, like all great rock and rollers, to sound like he dropped in from another planet, whilst also getting to the stuff that was right to the heart of what you were experiencing yourself." Isn't that brilliant? And this next song is a real case in point. Roy had met a guitarist in the 1970s called Bill Dees, with whom he would team up to write a couple of huge hits that would form a major part of his musical legacy. But curiously, a new writing partner didn't produce a new style of song. This one is another semi-operatic, drama-drenched, emotion-packed, absolute heartbreaker. And just listening to this, Bruce Springsteen's words ring true. It's hard to imagine any artist articulating loneliness any better.
Your baby doesn't love you anymore. Golden days before they end, whisper secrets to the wind. Your baby won't be near you anymore. Tender nights before they fly, send falling stars that seem to cry. But you'll see lonely sunsets
incredible. Here's a quick story for you. One day in the 1980s, U2's Bono was on tour and he'd fallen asleep one night listening to Roy's recordings. He woke up in the morning with an idea for a song in his head. Later that day, at the sound check, he played it to his fellow band members of U2, and after some chord changes from the Edge, the group agreed that, well, they liked the song. They felt it sounded more like something Roy Orbison might sing, and that they should try and get it to him, which they did, and it gave Roy yet another hit.
Darkness falls and she will take me by the hand, take me to some twilight land, where all but love is gray, where I can't find my way without her as my guide. Night falls, I'm cast beneath her spell. Daylight comes, our heaven turns to hell. Am I left to burn and burn eternally? She's a mystery to me. Sharp it cut like a switchblade to my heart, words tearing me apart. She tears again my bleeding heart. I wanna run, she's pulling me apart. Fallen angel cries and I just melt away. She's a mystery to me. The darkness in her eyes that so enslaves me. But if my love is blind, then I don't want to see. She's a mystery to me. Night falls, I'm cast beneath her spell. Daylight comes, our heaven.
From Roy's last album, Mystery Girl, which he managed to finish just 1 month before he died at the end of 1988. For several months, Roy had been experiencing chest pains, but he just kept on performing and recording, and by the start of December 1988 was really struggling. And on the 6th of that month, Roy returned home to try and relax, spending the day playing and flying model planes with his son. The family had dinner, after which Roy had a fatal heart attack, aged just 52.
The summer sun went down on our love long ago. But in my heart I feel the same old afterglow.
another stunning ballad from Roy. That one was from his last studio album, which he'd written with Geoff Lynne. Roy was a man whose songwriting had a profound influence on every pop writer that followed. As a singer, musician and songwriter, Roy just seemed to transcend all the genres. He mixed up folk and country, rock and roll, blues, and to the extent that nobody had ever really done before him. Vocally, he could snarl and deliver a line like one of the great rock and roll or blues greats, and then the next minute his voice would break our hearts with a falsetto that would make Frankie Valli look restrained. Bob Dylan, funny enough, famously said that every time he worked with Roy or heard him sing, he would always find himself thinking, I just can't believe what I'm hearing. Was astonishing, and this episode has been my absolute pleasure to share a small part of his work with you. Anyway, I really hope you've enjoyed this insight into the incredible Roy Orbison. To finish with, I've selected one of his chart hits from the 80s. That decade, he'd been approached by Tom Petty, Bob Dylan and Geoff Lynne, all of whom wanted to write and play with him. And suddenly, the world's first supergroup was formed, the Traveling Wilburys, who would help Roy have what turned out to be one last hurrah. This one had been written by Roy, Tom Petty and Geoff Lynne. They added their voices and instruments to the recording after Roy had died.
Every time I look into your loving eyes, I see love that money just can't buy. One look from you, I drift away. I pray that you are here to stay. Anything you want, you got it. Anything you need, you got it. Anything at all, you got it. Baby, every time I hold you, I begin to understand. Everything about you tells me I'm your man. I live my life to be with you. No one can do the things you do. Anything you want, you got it. Anything you need, you got it.
the great Roy Orbison, aided and abetted by Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne. There was nobody like Roy, and when towards the end of his life he was asked how he would like to be remembered, humble as ever, he replied, "I would simply like to be remembered." Well, he has been in this edition of Insight. Thanks very much for listening. Do check the website out for details of all our shows. And don't forget, you can listen to this again, should you want to, via the Listen Again page. This is lgradio.online. Thanks for listening.